Welcome to Let's Talk Death, conversations to inform and inspire. Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a nonprofit providing the tools and resources to support one's journey with grief. We seek to empower individuals to achieve a healthy post-bereavement growth. Everything we do is inspired by our core belief that no one should ever grieve alone. Let's Talk Death is a series of conversations with some amazing people from various fields. Our goal through these conversations is to normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief. Hello, welcome to this episode of Let's Talk Death. I'm Fran Solomon.
And I'm Andy McNeil.
And we're thrilled to be your host for these conversations.
Our guest today is Dr. Jillian Bluford. Jillian is a clinical assistant professor for the school counseling program at the University of Denver and a licensed professional counselor candidate in Colorado. She has a history of leadership in grief outreach programming for K through 12 youth. Over the years, Jillian has provided grief counseling to individuals of all backgrounds in various settings, including schools, outpatient facilities, and private practice. Further, Jillian is a grief and loss scholar who has conducted research and scholarship via her dissertation, peer-reviewed publications, webinars, a podcast feature, and several regional, national, and international presentations. Jillian's current focus is enhancing counseling training and preparation in grief counseling. She is a member of several associations within the counseling and thanatology professions. Jillian, we are delighted to have you as a guest on our show.
Yeah, I am thankful and grateful to be here and to talk with you both.
Great. So, Jillian, before we get into your work, was there a death loss that you experienced that kind of put you on your path to your career?
Yes. I would say it really started with the death of my mother. When I was a teen, it was unexpected. And I first, like, significant loss I had experienced to that point in my life. And at that time, I was a, you know, what you would consider, or many would say, oh, you're the good griever. I didn't get into trouble. I got straight A's. I, you know, kept up with great friends. And so no one really sought to ask me about my grief, what was going on. But inside, you know, of course, I was dealing with the significant loss of someone who was so important to me and did not know how I was going to manage without this person in my life. And so realized that maybe others didn't see me as grieving and kind of went through my life and sought my own counseling and really recognized that, okay, I was grieving. That was a significant loss. And I assumed a lot of her roles for quite a long period of time. And so once I got into my training and started to really kind of get connected with hospice bereavement centers and just those who were focusing on grief, I realized that maybe the individuals who should have reached out to me, school counselors or just others, just maybe weren't prepared and didn't know how to talk to me about grief. And so I dug into some research, dug into some literature and realized, oh, I think others are not as prepared as maybe they would like to be to really engage with grieving individuals. I'm still on that quest to try to make as many counselors prepared as they can be to just have some conversations and acknowledge the loss of individuals of all ages, but especially for children, adolescents who are often overlooked in the grieving process.
Yeah, you know, it's significant to me that, and interesting, families over the years that would come to me for support and counseling, quite often even the surviving parent, if it was a parent who died, would focus on the kids who outwardly were grieving. Mm-hmm. And their kids who weren't, they would just, the assumption was, hey, they're fine. They're mm-hmm. just fine. You know, and there's something there. Even sometimes researchers will even say, you know, we'll look at it and say, oh, well, these particular kids don't have any, right? They don't have all of these other issues going on, but it doesn't mean that it's not all that. So it is interesting. I think it's significant you share that.
Yeah, and I agree. It's the kids that we see, you know, problematic behaviors or things like, oh, they're grieving. We need to address their grief. But that kind of leads to the myth that, you know, not every kid grieves and not everyone has the capacity to grieve. And so that's, you know, also a myth I'm trying to like debunk as well. It's, you know, did I know everything that I know now at 15? No. But I knew enough, right, to know that that was a loss and to encounter my own grieving process.
Yeah, there's also the scenario where individuals appear not to be grieving and they have that front and they're really not dealing with their grief. But fast forward 10, 15 years, boom, it's like walking into a brick wall. And then it's very displaced. It's like, why am I feeling like this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that a lot with clients, previous clients and current clients that talk about, you know, I thought I was doing okay. I thought it was something that was behind me, thought I addressed it well. And then the slightest thing came up and all of their grief, of all of their losses that they've never really fully dealt with, appeared. And they take it upon themselves that, like, there's something wrong with me that I couldn't handle this. But it's, you know, loss after loss after loss, especially now. It's like, who knows how to cope with all of this that's going on? So it would make sense that you'll want to reach out for support.
Yeah, we weren't given a manual.
Right. Yes. Yeah, right. I wish, but that is not how grief works.
Not how it works, and everybody's grief is different, and it's their own experience, and it's based on their personal relationship. You can have two siblings have a very different relationship with the same person that they may be grieving over. So I mean, it's just, Andy taught me something very pointed. He said, we're not here to fix their grief. Mm. We're here to help them through their experience with it.
Yes. Yeah. And I often repeat something similar to all my clients and to my students now that, you know, they're going to definitely encounter grieving students, and I definitely want to prepare them as much as I can, but we're not there to fix it. There's no treatment. There's no, you know, let's achieve this certain outcome. It just doesn't work like that. And a lot of my students have to relearn that, because they were taught that either, you know, grief kind of falls into certain stages, or, you know, there's at least a day where I'll get better. And so that we have to like rethink, what does that mean to get better? And what's the ultimate hope that we have for our grief?
That language is important in everything in life, certainly. Mm-hmm. Grief is no different. You know, it's important how we define it. And even we've had conversations with a lot of folks just about the nature of grief. Like, what is grief? Like if I see grief as a pathology, well, that's going to impact how I treat someone who's grieving.
Right.
Or if I see it as a natural human experience that people are living, and that's going to impact, you know, how I go about it. It is interesting how so many, and even still today, and I am just thoroughly impressed that you're able to teach students and train our young professionals coming up, because so many of our professional degrees. I have a master's in counseling. I never had a grief. We never even discussed grief, really. Mm-hmm. Maybe in passing, it was all on all these other things. And even when I got out there and started practicing counseling, I realized most of what people were coming to counseling for had to do with a loss in their life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, whether it was marriage counseling or whatever it was, there was some loss association. And
yes.
Thing to me that we just don't talk about.
Right. Yes. And my motto, I think that all counseling is grief counseling. I've never had a client come in, and although maybe what they came in was for something they thought was unrelated to grief, we always bring back up the conversation about just losses that they have experienced. And I think that, you know, I also share some experiences in my training program. We did not have a grief and loss course. I think we talked about it a little bit in a trauma course or a development course. But then I started, you know, my internship at a hospice bereavement center. And I said, oh, no, I am not prepared. Where am I going? And had to do a lot of additional training and intense supervision because, you know, it wasn't what I was expecting and what I had been trained for at that part. And so I am really trying to advocate for counseling programs, for accrediting bodies, to think of how can we make sure that we're talking about this in all classes, right, and not just ideally, cool, but we can have a standalone course, but it's integrated into every part of our development and our experience. And so why shouldn't it be talked about in all classes?
Yeah. it stresses the importance of our associations in end of life, bereavement, thanatology, because that's where we create our language around it. That's where we create the constructs that we're going to use to talk about it. When I was at the National Alliance for Grieving Children, every year I would end the symposium by saying, you know, it's so great to be here with everyone and to be together. And let's keep working to change the way our world understands how grief impacts kids, you know, because there's just so many myths and misunderstandings out there, and you want people to have the right tools so that they provide the right care.
Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a 501c3. As a nonprofit, we are reliant on the kind generosity of our donors. If you are inspired by our mission, we ask you to go to healgrief.org/donations to help us continue our great work. No gift is too small.
It's easy to, I have found, to find, you know, my niche of professionals that agree with what I'm trying to do, and we speak the same language and we have the same interest, and that's wonderful. And for those that like feel uncomfortable talking about grief and death and bereavement, how do we reach that community as well and make sure that they're also imparting the same information that we know?
Yeah, it's interesting how such a natural life cycle, death, is not spoken about.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm still trying to grasp around why. And, you know, I even reflect on just my own family, and, you know, we've experienced significant losses, and it still is not always a topic of conversation and not something that we want to think about, you know, our own mortality and the short lifespan of others. But it will happen regardless if we think about it and talk about it. And so why not have conversations about it to be better prepared?
Now, I wonder if it's because, I don't know if I can say this generally, but many of us have moved away from core spirituality and religion. And I'm wondering if the technology has taken over that ability to be in touch with that part of oneself.
Yeah, just with the kind of, I see what you're saying. Like with that, with our, the fact that we're going to die, right? The fact that we don't just...
Yeah, we're always looking to stay younger. We're always looking to live longer. We're always looking to, you know, do everything we can to prolong in youth and all these things, and technology helps feed into that. I wonder if we've kind of lost sight of the, what I understand to be one of the most spiritual things, you know, birth and death.
Yeah, absolutely. And with, you know, modern medicine and just, you know, we're living longer. Yeah, could that, if we push it away as much as we can that, you know, I don't know, guess love help us to alleviate some of that fear of, you know, what that process and what that experience will look like?
It's interesting. It's almost a desire for like a longer life, but not necessarily a fuller life. You know, there's a philosopher lacking the name at the moment, but who said, I never really feel like I'm living unless I think about the fact that I'm dying at least once a day, is the way he put it. You know, and it was that idea of recognizing how important each moment is. Life's not necessarily about longevity.
Right.
You know, because if it was about longevity, then it's all messed up, right? Because some people only get a few hours of life, and some people get 15 years and 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. And if that was about longevity, then it's not fair, right? But maybe there's something else.
Yeah. What's the quality of life versus the quantity of life? Yeah. And that comes up, you know, when we talk about end of life care and making those decisions, but not so much for just the average person that is, you know, relatively healthy and maybe thinks, oh, you know, that will be something that happens to me way down the road. But like, we can't predict that.
Jillian, in your research, was there anything that kind of caught you off guard that you didn't know about?
Yeah, I would say, so for my dissertation, I really talked to counselors who have been working for a variety of settings and, you know, variety and duration of their just years in their career. And I talked to them about, you know, their perceived preparedness to encounter and engage with grieving individuals and kind of what was influencing that. Because nearly everyone said it wasn't my training program. They didn't prepare me for that. But a lot of them had experienced their own personal losses and used that as a way of saying, okay, I felt prepared because I had been through something similar. And that connects with what I have found in other research, but it surprises me of how just a personal loss made that counselor feel like they were prepared, when who knows what, you know, techniques or theories or like evidence-based literature they were relying on, and who was to say that the way that they cope with their loss was the healthiest way, you know, it was the way that worked for them. And that doesn't mean that that's going to be the way that works for all of our clients and our students. That caught me off a little bit off guard of, okay, we were just relying on our own personal experiences and nothing of knowledge or, you know, anything, you know, of professional development to inform their practice. And yes, that surprised me and alarmed me a little bit.
It is a little alarming because it also makes a statement about what a person believes counseling is, right? That it's,
yes.
I come from the approach that it's really a facilitating a process.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else's process, so it's their process,
right.
As opposed to I'm going in and I'm gonna give them 5 pieces of advice today.
Right,
it's gonna be all better for them.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because we tell like, you know, up and coming counselors to not do that, right? To rely on literature and what you've been trained in, and it's not about you. Right? It's about the person who's in the room and supporting them through whatever, you know, they're going through. But it seems like for grief, it's like, oh, well, I wasn't really trained on it, so I didn't get that preparation, so I'm just going to rely on what I know, and what I know is my own grief. And again, depending on how they've managed their own grief, that might not be the most logical and maybe ethical route to go.
Exactly. So, Jillian, what's ahead for you? What are you working on now, and what's ahead for you?
Yeah. So you brought up a great point about, you know, like what is grief counseling and how do we understand that? And so I really want to get into, there's been long-standing debates about grief counseling, and is it a necessary distinction from typical counseling, and what makes it unique and what makes it effective? And so I'm really trying to dive into, okay, so maybe counselors are not as prepared as they want to be, but are still meeting with grieving clients and students. And so what are they actually doing? And is that tied to anything? And can we really start to measure, you know, just the effectiveness of their work? And so I'm looking into that. And I'm also partnering with a local organization, Judy's House, in Denver, Colorado.
You know Judy's House very well.
Good friends. They are awesome. And just looking into also maybe their training program and how they're supporting students and families in the local area. And, you know, they have worked so hard to create just wonderful models and frameworks. And so I'm just like, how can we get that to everywhere, right? And not have to feel like we need to reinvent the wheel all the time. And so that's, you know, a future collaboration that I'm excited about and thrilled that they're, you know, they're right down the street.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So, Jillian, we actually are just about out of time. It just flies by when we
yes.
have these conversations. But before we end our time with you, people who are listening in often want to know how they can connect with our guests. And so how might people connect with you and with your work?
Yeah, the best way to get a hold of me is by email, although I'm sure everyone's inbox is always full. I do check that very often. So anyone can email me at jillian.bluford@du.edu. And yeah, we'll love to chat and connect.
Jillian, thank you so much. We really appreciate you being a guest here on our Let's Talk Death episode, and for the inspiration behind your work that you shared and for the work that you do.
Yes, thank you again for having me.
If you would like to learn more about Heal Grief, visit us at healgrief.org to find other conversations, or to inquire about becoming a guest speaker, visit us at healgrief.org/letstalkdeath. And if you feel inspired to support us, remember, no gift is too small. Visit us at healgrief.org/donations, or you can donate right through our homepage. Well, that's it until next time on Let's Talk Death, where we normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief.